You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Turning now to the text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that it would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up with life. Now he that hath brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us and unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we're confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this his holy word. This for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen. Father God, again, we want to pause just for a minute to acknowledge the privilege of ours and to thank you for another opportunity. We pray as we deal with this vital subject of death, the Holy Spirit will hedge us in here as it separates us from the evil one, rebukes every influence that would hinder our grasping this great hope of life ahead. Cleanse us now as a people to that end, as you give us a blessing. In this grace, Father God, for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Last week we touched upon the death of the saint in the Old Testament, how that at death he went to Abraham's bosom, a compartment in Hades, and how that at the resurrection of Christ, Christ took his own company of believers at that time back to glory with him, which we know today to be paradise, for to die in the Old Testament to go to Abraham's bosom was to the Jews paradise. We saw last week this testimony for a minute how Paul was caught up into that third heaven. We saw things that were unlawful for him to even talk about. Now, if you take your chart that you have, you'll see that Abraham's bosom there in this number 2 of Hades, that is which has been removed, is now in the third heaven called paradise under heaven. Consequently, in our reading of our text this morning, note carefully the words, 2 Corinthians 5. We know we're not guessing about it. We know. Let that take hold of it. This is not the word gnosko, to know by investigation. Everyone born of the Spirit of God, as this is the word to know intuitively. We know it intuitively. We know. If the Holy Spirit is directing your thinking concerning this subject, then it won't be hard for you to receive this because you'll know it intuitively. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and this is the word tent, God says this is a tent. Tent is not a very permanent dwelling place, you know. In fact, This little tent was only manufactured to last about 7 years. That's all. Not eternal. That's where we dwell now. In its dissolvement, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. Now this is not our immortal body. This is a house, a dwelling place for us. This particular word is used one other time in the book of Jude, so that we know what sort of a building it is, what sort of a body is prepared for us there until we get our new bodies. In verse 6 of the book of Jude, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation. This is the word. It's the word house. In 2 Corinthians 5:2, the house which is in heaven. So, the interim of time of death for the saint, he knows that there is a house, an angelic body for him to live in. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Not swallowed up of immortality, but swallowed up of life. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you received life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath, present tense, hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. So life becomes a manifestation in its best form following the resurrection, following the death of the saint. But it's a house in a tent now. It will be housed in an angelic body. And it will stay there until the resurrection. Notice. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, his presence. But we still walk by faith, and we don't see that body, not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from this body than to be where? To be present with the Lord. I want to turn with me for just a second at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. To appreciate this verse, you have to appreciate what was going on in Corinth. It was a new church come into being there through the preaching of, through the ministry of Paul. And he'd gone away and was at Ephesus. And he learned about some of the things that were going on in Corinth. And there were four different groups in that church. One said that they were Paul. Another group said that they were Apollos. Another group said that they were Peter. Another group said we're Christ. They were purest. It sort of reminds me of things today. Hadn't changed much, you know. Now, Paul, in this third chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 21. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, underscore that in your Bible, all things. What are these all things? Well, first, life. Partly the world. That word world there is cosmos. That's the order, the true order. Not the cosmos as we see it, because the God of this cosmos today is Satan. And you may be discouraged as you see what's happening. But the true world, the true order of things, is yours. And life, let me inject here that word life, always in the context of those born of the Spirit, is not the word for biological life, that's bios. This word is zoe. It's the life that God has. All things are yours. The whole order is yours. Life is yours. That's the life of God. What's the next one? Death. Death is not going to conquer you, beloved. It's yours. Death will conquer this body, but death is yours. And you'll cry out one day, O death, where is thy sting? Do not get concerned because men become argumentative over doctrinal positions. Not that there was any argument between Paul and Wallace and Peter, there was not. Usually, most of the theological arguments arise through followers of men who have been given a truth. And that creates these great theological arguments. That's what you have been born to. It's still prevalent today. But all things are yours, beloved, the whole world is. Life is yours. Death is yours. And the things that are present and the things that are to come, all are yours. You're Christ. And Christ is gone. In the final analysis, everything will be worked to perfection. In this life, in this cosmos, this order today, in most cases, and I think all cases if people honestly be honest with themselves, when you come to the end of the road and you look back, as far as your life is concerned, the old natural man, the ambitions that he had, or she had, are just so much. But, nevertheless, all things are yours. There are many things in this life you wanted to do and you couldn't. I know there are some men claiming to be self-made, pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps and all that, but actually, that's not so. That's an illusion. The death rites are humiliation on every tombstone. It shows that man is the victim, not the victor. But we know, I want you to get the impact of that again. We know that if our earthly house is dissolved, we have a house, an angelic body, awaits for me to move into. Turn with me for just a second to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. I want you to remember this verse. If you forget everything else I said today, I don't want you to forget this. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you believe that? Even so, them also which... Now, this little phrase here is so veiled, but what it says in the Greek, and I'm going to translate it for you. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which have been put to sleep by Jesus. How do you like that? I want to read it again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them that have been put to sleep by Jesus... will God bring with him? He's going to bring us with him. if we've been put to sleep by Him. You know, when it comes bedtime, do you have any problem going to bed? One thing you can rest assured, that God will give you grace in that hour. If you know this. Because faith comes with the hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now some people are fearful of death, because death is the enemy of human race. It's the king of terror. If you're a saint and you know that you're going to be put to sleep by Jesus, and that you're going to wake up one day in a body in His presence, it's not going to be too bad, is it? I don't think so. Now, there's some people who have I think that when men die like that, they have a fear of death. God is kind to them. You know, women hurt. Others are drawn out long, far, and suffer a lot. And when they write Ichabod over your tombstone, it will either be in a glorious way, or what that word really means, the glorious past. Because that final humiliation is in that black box. No question about that. And yet that very humiliation, that which leads to glory, if you've been put to sleep by Jesus. Remember last week we read there's a time appointed for what?
One
every
time.
And for death too. All of us have an appointment, and there's no discharge from that army. We all want to go through it, one way or another. But we know that if we depart this tent, we have a house not made with hands. And we earnestly grow. And the older you get, the more you understand and appreciate that. Young, you don't have many aches and pains, and you don't think much about it. But don't think that you can't go be put to sleep in a hurry. You can. Everybody says, oh, I want to go out and hurry. I don't want to linger, you know. Well, that's perfectly natural. But you know, if God does call on you to linger, I assure you, He'll give you the grace to do it. He'll make you rise to the occasion. So even that you don't have to worry about. Some people I know are worried about that. My mother, I remember her, she said, the only thing I don't like about it, they're going to throw dirt in my face. I said, well, you won't know it anyhow, so don't worry about it. You know, that's true. You're going to shed this on me. All things are yours, whether they be the cosmos, the order of things, and the chaos that we see them in. One day, that will all be overcome, and the world will be perfect. Life is yours. Eternal life. We're not talking about immortality yet. Talking about life. Immortality has to do with the physical body. That will do with life. We speak about immortality, but immortality is, the word for immortality is deathlessness of the body. We don't get that at the time of death. We get the life there. That's why I want you to notice again 2 Corinthians carefully. Verse 4. Notice that the mortal life is swallowed up by what? Life. Did not say that the mortal life is swallowed up by immortality. It's swallowed up by life. That's the life that you receive from Christ. The minute that you were generated from above. Let me pause just for a minute to emphasize that too. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? And you hear the very familiar quote today. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Actually, it doesn't say that, although that's a conclusion and a good conclusion. What it really says is, you must be generated from above. The translation to be born again is a conclusion of that fact. There was a time in your physical being you were generated in the physical sense. That's when you were born into this world. But except you be generated from above, you cannot see the government of God. It's impossible. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Now keep that in mind. That's the life that swallows up mortality when you go to be present with the Lord. That is not immortality. The mortality would be that time when you come back with Jesus. We read about that a while ago. Those have been put to sleep by Jesus. You bring back with him. This is the great resurrection. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 53 and verse 54. Now here's what will happen when you come back with Jesus. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Now that happens when you get when life swallows up mortality. But this here, then the mortal must put on immortality. This word is the deathlessness. So in this corruptible should it put on incorruption and something else. And this mortal should put on immortality, deathlessness to this body. Then should be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now notice, at your death, what happens? Life swallows up what? The mortality. At the time of the Lord bringing you back with him to this time of resurrection, what is swallowed up then? Death is swallowed up at that point. That's why the writer goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now that's the thing That's the body that you will inhabit throughout eternity. That's the immortal body. The soul, if you should die this very day, will simply move out of this tent and move into that angelic body that's prepared for you. Would be, I don't know what the action would be there. It'd be a restful time. You remember last week we saw how that Samuel and Saul discussed things after death. And Samuel said to Saul, what did you disturb my rest for? So whatever it is, it's a restful time. It's a time of maturing in preparation for the immortal body that you will receive at resurrection. Now next week we will deal with the resurrection of the saint of this dispensation. We just dealt with the bare facts now. We will deal with the resurrection of the saint of this dispensation so that you can understand what you can expect. Ours is a unique calling. Ours is a secret. It's not the subject matter of the prophets. It is something, though. It's a hope that takes us into the super heaven. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We pray that you enable us to keep these thoughts in our minds so that next week and we take a look at the resurrection that is appointed for us, and realizing the place of our calling in this, we shall rejoice in your faithfulness. And like Paul of old, say, we know. We don't guess about it, we know. As it is written so, this for Christ Jesus' sake. Then we pray this blessing. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.